The Old Testament reading for the Feast of the Annunciation of our Lord is from Isaiah chapter 7. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, "Ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be deep as Sheol or high as heaven." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test." And he said, "Hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary men, that you weary my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
From Hebrews chapter 10. "For it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Consequently, when Christ came into the world, he said, 'Sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body have you prepared for me. And burnt offerings and sin offerings you have taken no pleasure.' Then I said, 'Behold, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written of me in the scroll of the book.' When he said above, 'You have neither desired nor taken pleasure in sacrifices and offerings and burnt offerings and sin offerings, these are according to the law,' then he added, 'Behold, I have come to do your will.' He abolishes the first in order to establish the second. And by that will we have been sanctified, through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ, once for all." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples.
Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the first chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. This is the gospel of the Lord. behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. You may be seated. As we celebrate this Annunciation of our Lord, we see the angel Gabriel was sent by God to Mary. Angels, by their very name, are messengers. They're sent with a message to convey, and in this case, it was something miraculous. St. Luke records for us. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Now, trying to comprehend the conception of Jesus by the Holy Spirit in the womb of the Virgin is difficult. C.F.W. Walther, the first president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, once preached, "This is indeed a truly remarkable mystery. To consider it carefully is like looking into the flaming midday sun with the naked eye. The longer one looks at it, the darker it appears, but it retains all the marks of a great mystery worthy of God." So the incomprehensible, this mystery, has come into the world to be comprehended. Or rather, to be seen by those who witnessed him, who could reach out their hand and touch him, or in Mary's case, could feel the baby Jesus moving in her womb. So the very God who made all things assumed human flesh and was in her womb. God in the flesh was dwelling among his people. This means the invisible God became a visible man. God's son, born of a woman, a child of man, was a child of God. Mary's firstborn, who was God's only begotten son. And so reason hears this and it turns back. Experience says that's not possible. Even Mary was perplexed. Still today, there are many who would rather say, as King Ahaz, "I will not put the Lord to the test. I desire not. I do not desire that anyone should believe this, or I don't ask myself if I believe it." But Ahaz received his answer. Is it too little for you to weary men that you may weary God also? So it is not putting God to the test to believe his word, to receive his miracles and be thankful for them. On the contrary, putting God to the test is to it is to challenge God and distrust his ability when one will not believe his promise or receive his miracles that he has done and always done in his mercy. "But how shall it happen?" asked Mary. "It seems completely impossible." And the answer, though, is the Holy Spirit and the power from the highest. God's Holy Spirit is God himself. The power from the Most High is his outstretched hand that creates from nothing, that renews and transforms, that kindles life and snuffs it out, that gives existence to those who are not, flattens out those who were, that rules over the laws of nature with the right of the one who is the creator and creator of those laws, and over all life with the creator's all-powerfulness. When God intervenes with this power, then yes, nothing is impossible. Reason and everyday experience have nothing to say. Reason only registers that which normally happens. But something happened here that had never happened before and would never happen again. The Word became flesh. God became man. And Mary said, "I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." So speaks faith. Faith when God does miracles. "For you are great and do wondrous things. You alone are God," Psalm 86 says. Therefore the angel says, "He shall be great and called the Son of the Most High." So it was God who had done this. God gives. God came down from heaven. God's only Son took on human flesh. who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking on the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And the child who was born is the Holy One of God. St. Peter would confess, "We have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God," in John 6. And in Matthew 16, that great confession, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." So what does this mean? Life is revealed. St. John says, "The life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testify it to it and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us." This means God's life, the eternal life that was with the Father, descended to earth, walked around the roads of Galilee, visible for all. God rose from the dead, healed the sick. God's life descended into hell, conquered death, opened the grave, restored, cured all that which the fallen to sin destroyed. Here we see this in the incarnation. Life revealed. Again, reason turns back. Experience grumbles. It knows only death and corruption. It will not believe any such thing is possible. And even when this happened before human eyes, when God's miraculous power was revealed, where Jesus came to his own, then men were often very perplexed. Mary was amazed and terrified. Or as the disciples when the storm subsided, "For they all saw him and were terrified." Or think about the Mount of Transfiguration. They stood there because they felt the same. They fell on their faces and were terrified. And finally, when he rose, they were dismayed and filled with fear. Often he had to say, "Do you not perceive or understand? Are your hearts hardened?" It's so hard to conceive, to believe it, even according to the witness of your own eyes. This is something so unheard of, so inconceivable, so unreasonable. And yet it happened. How could it happen? Through the Holy Spirit and power from the Most High. This was the Word that became flesh. God's Spirit had given flesh and blood in Mary's womb. God's Spirit is the life giver. Therefore, he raised the widow's son, gave life to Jairus' daughter. The life was revealed. Because it was God, it was impossible to kill the Prince of Life. He rose again from the dead. The resurrection from the dead is related to the incarnation, as the Lord of Life cannot be held captive by death. And because God descended, lived in Mary's womb, was delivered to earth in Bethlehem, suffered under Pontius Pilate and was crucified, therefore the grave could not contain him. God had become man precisely in order to kill death with his life. Hebrews 2 tells us, "Since therefore the children share in the flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery." The word that the angel uttered before Mary could be repeated by the angel who rolled away the stone. Here life was revealed that Paul says was declared to be the Son of God and power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. And here the angel's words in Nazareth finally come true. He will be great, will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. And here is his kingdom, the church, where the Lord continues to dwell, where his life is revealed, his life is given, and life is proclaimed for others. So when you think about this, consider who you are and what this means, that your Lord Jesus is your brother in the flesh, only without sin. You at one time were in the womb of your mother, and so was Jesus. You grew in your mother's womb, and so did Jesus. God in his infinite wisdom, grace, and mercy came down from heaven to redeem you, a lost and condemned person. Salvation has been accomplished in Christ. And even though Mary was perplexed, learn from Mary, the mother of God, what it means to receive God's word, to trust it, to keep it, to have that faith, to cling to what your Lord teaches you and gives you. Even the times when, according to your fallen flesh, it may seem absurd, receive the word of God in humility. For again, God sends out his Spirit and stretches out his hand. Jesus has borne your sin. He blots it out. He blots your sins, even down to its very core. Now God sends his holy angel to the soul with the word, "Greetings, O favored one." And you may say, what does this mean? Well, here, as the angel said to Mary, "Do not be afraid, for you have found favor with God." God's grace is towards you. Grace for sinners. Wealth for the spiritually poor. The bread of life for the hungry. Healing for the sick. What do you have to give in all of this? You ask that question as you see your sin and you see what God reveals it merits. You have only sin. You have only shortage. You have only death. But you see, God shows you you do have one thing, and that means everything. You have a Savior, the one who has taken on those things and given you himself in return. He who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, came down to seek and save the lost. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified for you, buried for you, and is risen for the sake of your justification. And here he is, with all his grace. He's baptized you, he's washed you clean, and it flows out over your life. The Lord who was in the womb of the Virgin is here even for you today. As he says, take, eat, take, drink. This is my body, my blood, given and shed for you. And in the confidence of faith, you confess, as did the angel, he will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High. Because you see that God's Son is here, and he's here for you. Dare to believe that Christ has died for you. And behold the Annunciation, and see God who came down to dwell and save his people. And Mary received these words of the angel in great humility. And rejoice, rejoice with Mary, the mother of God, clinging to your Lord. For the angel spoke, and she responded, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen.